Welcome to True Worldview, your place for intelligent conversation on ultimate questions and the issues that matter. I'm Christy Johnson. I'm here with Paul Dean. Today, we're talking about the gift of prophecy.
It's certainly an important subject, Christy. This has come up in my life, believe it or not, in the last week or two, with three or four different people asking me about the gift. And that's why we're doing the broadcast today. When a lot of folk are talking about the same thing, it seems like, well, maybe we need to say something about it. And we thought we'd be a little informal today. You know, if we were going to exegete a lot of scripture and do a course on this, which I have in the past, it would take us several weeks, several episodes. We're not going to do that. We're just going to have a freewheeling conversation, if that's okay. And you know, we'll talk about the biblical views, some of the other views out there, and how we should think about this all-important subject.
Yeah, it is an important subject. And to be honest, I get confused in my mind, too, about what is prophecy, especially what is prophecy today? Is the gift of prophecy still in use today? I think that when I first think about prophecy, I immediately think about books in the Old Testament like Daniel and the prophecy where he was actually telling, you know, seeing a vision and basically explaining all these things that were going to happen in the future in a very allegorical way and used a lot of interesting language, judgment language, that kind of thing. But as far as, or I think of, you know, someone in cases of the New Testament, I think of people getting up and giving a prophecy. I almost think of it as future telling, but I don't know that that's really what it is. So it'll be good to have this conversation and explain some of those things, because I'm sure a lot of people are confused just like
sure.
me.
Yeah, well, there's some conflicting information out there today, so it's no wonder that some folk are confused. And we're going to talk about the different views that are out there, and of course, the biblical view, as we've said. I think it's important for us to understand what we're talking about. You know, there's a difference between those who think the gifts, those particular gifts, the gift of prophecy and gifts like that go with it, like tongues or the word of knowledge or even healing. These are what we would call the sign gifts because they point to something beyond themselves. These are referred to as the signs of the apostles to authenticate the apostles' claim to be apostles, for example. In fact, you had, we call them miracle gifts because God's, you know, supernatural power is at work. It's his supernatural power is always at work when you think about gifting by the Holy Spirit. But, you know, if you're talking about the gift of healing, you know, someone with a withered arm or someone who was, you know, lame and healed so that he could walk or someone who was raised from the dead. Well, again, these are sign gifts or miracle gifts, and you see these gifts really prevalent in three different time periods throughout redemptive history. You see these gifts sort of more than at any other time during the days of Moses and Aaron, you know, to signify the veracity of Moses' claim, you know, to authenticate Moses as the lawgiver. So Moses and Aaron, then you see them during the days of Elijah and Elisha, and of course they represent the prophets, and then you see them prevalent in the Lord Jesus Christ ministry along with the apostles' ministry to, again, authenticate the new covenant's dawning and Jesus being the Messiah and the apostles being called by him. So just these three primary periods in redemptive history. And so again, sign gifts, they're authenticating signs, they're miracle gifts. But essentially, apart from healing, you know, when you think about people today talk about speaking in tongues, and by the way, biblically, tongues is just an old King James word for languages. If you go to, say, the book of Acts chapter 2 and Pentecost, it's obvious that, you know, the definition of tongues is not some gibberish. It's not some private prayer language. It's not, you know, some language you can't understand. They are known languages because, you know, people from all over the world heard the disciples or the apostles speaking to them in their own languages. So we're just talking about foreign languages or languages that are not your own. So again, when you come to 1 Corinthians 13, let me just jump ahead there, talks about the gift of tongues, the gift of prophecy, the word of knowledge. Sometimes he just talk. He just says knowledge. Hmm. Well, these are, again, they're sign gifts. They're miracle gifts, but they're also what we call revelatory gifts because they are direct revelation from God.
Mm-hmm.
And one more thing before I sort of hand it back off to you, forgive me. I tend to run on a little bit.
It's all right. It's good.
When you talk about prophecy, and that's what we're talking about particularly today, when you talk about prophecy, yes, a lot of people think that it primarily has to do with telling the future.
Mm-hmm.
And that's certainly a component of a lot of prophecy. When you look at the Old Testament prophets and or the New Testament prophets, they foretold the future. At the same time, that's not the only dynamic we're talking about when we're talking about the biblical gift of prophecy. A lot of the time, it's more forth-telling God's word, not necessarily foretelling the future. I don't know if you can hear
right.
the distinction, but
yeah.
So they're just proclaiming the word of God. But in both cases, in all cases, the gift of prophecy, it is a word from the Lord. It is revelatory.
Right.
It is direct revelation. So when Amos says, "Thus saith the Lord," or when you know one of those Old Testament prophets says, "Thus saith the Lord," this is direct revelation from God. And it is 100% accurate, and if it has a future component, it will infallibly come to pass. Mm. And you have the same thing going on with the New Testament prophets. And by the way, the New Testament church is founded on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. The Apostle Paul says to the Ephesians, and those are New Testament prophets. And what that's all about is, again, those revelatory gifts in operation during the first century, giving the apostles primarily, and those associated with them, but primarily the apostles, the writers of Scripture, the new covenant revelation. They had the old covenant revelation that had been inscripturated, and now you've got a new covenant community, and the new covenant is different from the old covenant, and they need an understanding of, you know, how they're supposed to live as New Covenant believers as opposed to Old Covenant believers. And that's what the New Testament is all about. And that obviously is now the prophetic word inscripturated. It's the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and we have it now. So I've kind of gone round the bend a little bit. I've tried to cover several things in there. What is prophecy and, you know, what people believe, cessationism versus continuationism, and you know, what kind of gifts are we talking about? So that's sort of a little introduction.
Yeah, thanks for that introduction. It was really great and really helpful. And I think that you've pretty much summed up or given an introduction into what would be the biblical view of prophecy. And obviously, there are a number of views out there on prophecy. And I think it's important that we talk about some of them. So what would you say are some other views of prophecy?
Well, I think the first one that comes to mind, of course, is the charismatic view or the Pentecostal view. And certainly these folk are those that believe that these revelatory gifts, and and healing, but the miracle gifts, you know, let's affirm that there are other spiritual gifts, by the way. Can I just say something about that momentarily?
Yeah.
There are other, you know, you might have the gift of exhortation or the gift of teaching or the gift of hospitality or giving or whatever. Well, all of these gifts are gifts of the Spirit. And,
right.
You know, if I could give a little bit of a background here in 1 Corinthians 13, you know, this church was a divided church. There are a lot of problems in the church. And one of those problems was that some of the folk there had revelatory or miracle or sign gifts, and others did not. And they were actually lording it over those who did not, or saying that they were more spiritual. You know, those that had the miracle gifts were more spiritual, closer to God or whatever, mm-hmm. than those who didn't have those gifts. In fact, they called themselves spirituals. If you look at the Greek language, that's, and it was a noun. They called themselves spirituals. And Paul says, wait a minute. You need to realize something, a couple of things, really. No one is better than the other. All of these gifts come from God. You who call yourself spiritual, you shouldn't do that. The Greek word there is pneumatikoi, like pneuma, like you know, breath, wind, like a pneumatic device or pneumonia. You understand that? So pneumatikoi is what they're calling themselves. And Paul says, look, these gifts come by the grace of Almighty God. God distributes each one of them to each person individually by grace. And the word for grace is charis. And so he says, these are charismata. And of course, that's where the term charismatic comes from. And I'm not talking about, you know, the charismatic view just yet. But even though we're using that word, but Paul's point is that you have what you have and you are what you are by grace. And look, no one gift is more important than another. In fact, the primary thing that you ought to be concerned about is loving one another. And you might have the gift of tongues and prophecy and all this, but if you don't love, then you don't really have anything. And the other thing that he says about that ultimately, you know, we talk about spiritual gifts, but that's not really exactly how Paul talks about them. He talks about the one gift in that particular text. And, you know, we've just sort of loosely translated it. And the gift is the Holy Spirit himself. And whatever your spiritual gift is, we use that language, it is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit in your life, working in you and through you. And we don't have time to give a whole dissertation on spiritual gifts today, but I at least wanted to, you know, say that because when we talk about these revelatory or miracle or sign gifts, those are distinguished from what we might call the ordinary gifts. We call them the extraordinary gifts. So the charismatic view is that these extraordinary gifts, the miracle gifts, are still in operation today. And so you'll see them speaking in tongues and you'll see them, you know, having visions and healing people and all the rest. And of course, as I alluded to a moment ago, the charismatic actually define tongues differently than the Bible defines it. You know, they typically define it as this unintelligible language, and they speak this unintelligible language to someone else, or they refer to it as a private prayer language that they don't understand. And of course, that's not biblical. And we don't have time to go down that road. Maybe we can do 1 Corinthians 14 another time and explain that very, very easily. But the point I'm trying to make very simply is that, you know, the charismatics would say that these gifts are still in operation and the gift of prophecy. And it's essentially, God has told me this, and now I'm telling you, and brother, you better believe it. if you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah. And I think that the charismatic view has really influenced a lot of popular Christianity today. And it's something that I see all the time from people saying, well, either they saw a vision about their future and they just, you know, they had a very specific vision and they believe that it's from the Lord and it means that this certain thing is going to happen in their life. Or I like you said, I've heard people say, well, God told me that I need to do this. And they really mean God told them something. And not through scripture, I mean, like they heard his voice or something. I don't know. I should ask them maybe. But we see this a lot, and it, I think it is actually really sad because I don't think it's biblical. I don't think that, you know, the things like visions and healing, like you mentioned prophecy in the biblical view, that was a word from God. And it seems like people are mixing categories and saying that what they have is a word from God when really who knows where they got it from? What if they got it from the devil? You know, who knows? But let me give you a couple of examples. I think everybody has heard of Bethel Church. And I think recently one of the leaders, it's a really tragic story there. His 3-year-old daughter passed away, sadly. And the whole church was praying for her to be resurrected. And they went for days and days praying that she was going to be resurrected. And they fully believed that she was going to be resurrected. And she wasn't resurrected. And I think it's really sad because they put their hope in this extra biblical sense or feeling that they had that she was going to be resurrected when God never promises that we're going to be resurrected on earth. We're going to be resurrected on the last day. And I see it also in other people, someone else that I follow on Instagram, their daughter had an accident and now she's in a coma. She's brain has really bad brain damage. And he fully believes that she's going to get up and get up and walk, or like that phrase, Talitha Kum. I don't know how to pronounce it. Is that right?
That's right.
Yeah. Like, because Talitha of that Talitha. Story mm-hmm. that he was thinking about it so much or whatever, he fully believes that she's going to get up and become her normal self again. Yeah. And it's giving false hope when you put your trust in something other than the scriptures, in some extra sense or belief. And there's even, I don't want to get too far afield, and, or I don't want to be insensitive, because it's very, very sad. And I don't mean to make fun, but I think it's something that we need to be aware of and know how to talk to people and know that that's not quite right. But they'll say things like, I kept thinking about the number 40 this week. And so other people have said they've been thinking about the number 40. And so I think that means she's going to get up on this day, because that'll be 40 days after she had her accident. And I just think it's sad. But what would you say about that?
Well, yeah, and obviously we're not making fun of that. This is a tremendous tragedy. I mean, can you imagine, first off, losing your daughter, for example, or mm-hmm. or your child having severe brain damage, and then to add on top of that yet another tragedy, thinking she's going to be raised from the dead and it doesn't happen, or healed and it doesn't happen. And,
yeah,
you know, when you come to the scriptures, the scripture doesn't even present healing, for example, as normative. God can heal. We all understand and believe that God can heal miraculously even today. God reserves the right to be God, and he can suspend natural law and raise someone up or deliver someone from cancer without medical intervention. That's what we call a miracle. It is the suspension of the natural order.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're saying is it's not normative for today. What's normative for today is that when you die, like you say, you're not going to be raised up until the last day when yeah. Jesus comes again. If you have severe, brain damage, you're not coming back from that. You might have a little bit of medical treatment and you might can have some improvement depending upon what's going on. Or, you know, like you break your arm, you can put it in a cast and all that. But that's providential. That's natural, if that makes sense. But what's mm-hmm. supernatural is God's direct intervention. So it's a tragedy because the scripture doesn't present healing, for example, as normative. And not only that, the other thing is when you believe that God's going to raise your child up and that doesn't happen, then that yeah. of course shakes your faith. And it's a lack of understanding of scripture. And so now you've got a double tragedy there.
Yeah, it is. And because, I mean, yeah, if I believed that God told me something and then it didn't happen, then that would, shake my faith. And instead of putting our hope in truth of what the scriptures really say, that we're going to be raised up on the last day, and that we're going to have our glorified bodies in eternity, that's our hope for resurrection.
Yes, that's right.
But I think the charismatic view, if I'm understanding correctly, the Bible does have a lot of instances of healing in it. And so I understand why someone would read the scriptures and think, well, all this healing happened, so that must mean that healing happens as Christians. And I think it goes back to what you were saying, though, at the beginning of the podcast, that though you have to understand the context and you have to understand the nature of redemptive history from start to finish, which it's not finished yet, and right. know that, as you said, the gifts occurred at a particular time for a particular purpose. And it's important to understand that and be scholars of the word, I think, so that we can understand that and have our hope and faith in real promises, not fantasies that are going to end up breaking our hearts.
Exactly right. And that's one of the reasons that you see the gift of healing in the New Testament. It's essentially saying the kingdom of God has arrived. It's been inaugurated, which Daniel prophesied about. It was going to happen. And 490 years, and it's a rival with the birth of Christ in the days of the Roman Empire. Go back to Daniel chapter 2, and you'll see that. And so the kingdom of God has arrived, and Messiah has arrived, and the new covenant, the new age, the new heavens and the new earth have been inaugurated. The day has dawned, and I could obviously say a whole lot more about that, but all of the revelatory gifts and the gift of healing, it's the kingdom of God breaking into the earthly realm in a sense, and these gifts were for that particular place at that particular time for that particular reason, to give the new covenant revelation and canonize it, inscripturate it, and then of course to the authenticating signs, Christ is the Messiah, and the apostles are the apostles, and these signs accompany them, and the kingdom has arrived. That's what it's all about. And if you don't understand that, then sure, you're going to think healing is normative for today, even though it's not. And revelatory gifts are not normative for today either.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you want to say anything else about the charismatic view?
Well, no, let's move on.
Okay.
Because there are a number of views out there. Here's one that's becoming really popular. And by the way, when you think God is speaking to you, whether directly or maybe you're riding down the road and you think, oh, that's a sign, that billboard, you know, I was thinking about something and I was asking God to show me something and there it is on the billboard, or, you know, open and closed doors or impressions. That's called mysticism. And again, that's not how we make biblical decisions, which is a whole other issue. You make biblical decisions by studying the scriptures and becoming wise in the scriptures, then applying them to your situation, applying them to your question.
Yeah.
You make your decision and watch God's providence unfold, asking him to lead you and all the rest. Anyhow, I say that because a lot of these things sort of overlap. Like there's a view out there that's really charismatic, but they're not full-blown charismatic. I think of people like Matt Chandler. Mm-hmm. And gosh, if you watch Matt Chandler, one particular sermon I saw him preaching, he was trying to explain his understanding of the gift of prophecy and how they were going to act in their church. And I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but essentially he said, you know, here's an example. It's like I had this dream the other night, and in this dream, there was a pirate ship, and it had cannons all over it, and there was a shark chasing it, and you know, he went into great detail about all kinds of other things. And then he said, God impressed me to share that, you know, as a prophecy with, you know, my friend Joe or whatever his name was. And so, you know, this is what we need to do. First off, he says, we may not understand it. Mm-hmm. Secondly, we may not get all the details right. Thirdly, it might not mean anything. It might not come true. I mean, he listed all of these caveats, and he said, but nevertheless, we need to be obedient to God, and we need to go share that. And so I'm just going to go up to Joe and say, Joe, I don't know if this thing means anything to you, but I'm just, you know, had a dream the other night. It's like a pirate ship and the cannons and the shark chasing it and all the rest. And, you know, I'm not going to interpret that as like, you know, Jesus is the shark and all that kind of stuff. But I've just given you this word from God. This is a prophecy. Yeah. Does that mean anything to you? And we can walk in the Spirit and experience the Spirit in a whole different way if we'll just be obedient. And that is Matt Chandler's view of prophecy. And Christy, that's essentially charismatic. It's slightly different, but what he's saying is I might have a word from God, but I'm not going to say I know exactly what it means or I'm right. So now, not only are you straying from a charismatic view, although it is charismatic, but you're straying from the biblical view. First off, the biblical view doesn't present that way. But if you're a prophet, you got a word from God, you know what it is, you say it,
and it
is true. And if it has a future component, it's infallibly going to come true.
Right. And you mentioned providence earlier. It's not to say that God doesn't providentially work in our hearts to pray for someone or to communicate with them that we're praying for them or to reach out to someone that we maybe otherwise would not have reached out. I mean, I've had a few times where, you know, maybe I have been moved to give money to a homeless person or something, or go talk to a person that maybe I wouldn't have normally talked to. And I think that's me being listening, being attentive to the Spirit and His prompting, but I think that there is a difference, and I don't know, maybe I'm still confused, because how do I know that the Spirit wanted me to talk to that person? And, you know, I don't know, but I think there is a difference.
Well, there is a difference. But of course you've landed on the question, and the point is, God does providentially direct our footsteps, and God brings things into our lives that cause us to think about this, that, or the other. Mm-hmm. So the primary difference is just what you said. God's not giving direct revelation, but rather through the Holy Spirit's providential leadership, through His providential timing and circumstances, you know, He leads us, and things come into our path that prompt us to think about this person or pray for that person.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is, you don't know. You know, on the one hand, everything's from God because He's absolutely sovereign over all things.
Yeah.
But that's not what we're talking about when we're talking about direct revelation per se. You know, that's distinguished from that. But even though God's absolutely sovereign over all things, the point is, if you've been moved to say pray for somebody or give somebody money or, you know, call somebody on the phone,
yeah,
you don't know if that was from God or if that was just, you know, something happened and you thought about that person, like,
yeah,
I don't know, you saw something that reminded you. Well, again, that's God's providence, but none of it is direct revelation, even though all of it is God's providence. Does that make sense?
Right. And I think that that's the thing. We have our revelation from God, and it's in His word.
Right.
And we follow His word and work out our faith in our lives through following His word and obeying His commandments and praying for others and being kind to others and that kind of thing. But we always, always, always go back to the word for revelation from Him. Now, if you'll let me, I'm going to throw something at you. It seems like we've been talking for a while, and I think we still have a lot more to talk about as well. So how about we come back next time and finish our discussion next time?
Well, that sounds good. We do have a lot more to talk about. We better do it in two, but yeah, let's do one more at least.
All right. Well, join us next time, and we'll be continuing our discussion on prophecy, and we hope that it'll be edifying. So join us then on True Worldview.
You've been listening to True Worldview, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical perspective. To access archive broadcasts, go to trueworldview.net, where you'll find other helpful resources as well. Thanks for listening, and join us next time on True Worldview. And the gospel.